Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. You have in the middle of the Bible Psalms, Proverbs, and then Ecclesiastes, or Ecclesiastes chapter 11. What we're looking at are some themes, some things to concentrate on as we head into this new year, some things to keep in your heart and mind to keep you focused. And this is an extremely practical portion of God's Word this morning. So let us give our careful attention to the reading and hearing of God's Word from Ecclesiastes chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. Hear now the Word of God. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a portion to seven or even eight, for you do not know what disaster may happen on the earth. The clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. And if the tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know why, the spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a woman with child. So you do not know the work of God who makes everything. In the morning, sow your seed, and in the evening, withhold not your hand. I ask you to keep your Bibles open before you. This is God's Word. Let us pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your Word. We thank you, Lord, for the sheer practicality of it. We thank you, Lord, for the gospel it brings to us, and we pray, God, that you'll bless our time in your word this morning, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Came across an old parable several hundred years ago, and I've sort of updated it, and I want to share it with you because it ties into what we're talking about. I want to talk to you about a church. It's called the Church of the Domesticated Ducks. Now, this church meets every Sunday morning. Between 300 and 500 ducks waddle into the church sanctuary. They sit in the pews. They listen to a stirring sermon. It's preached by their senior pastor, Pastor Mallard. Now, every sermon progresses in a predictable pattern. He begins like this. Beloved winged ones, you are ducks. Ducks have wings. Ducks are God's creatures, created to fly. And here you are, waddling through life, grubbing for worms on the ground. You're designed by the divine to swoop down from high above the heavens onto the surface of the lake, the rivers to catch the delicious fish that God has prepared for you. You ducks, you're living below your potential. You're waddling around here on the ground. It's time for us ducks to mount up with wings like your second cousin, third removed, the eagles, and fly. Well, as Pastor Mallard is bringing it, and I never have figured out what it is, but anyway, he's bringing it. The congregation is furiously flapping their wings. They're high-fiving each other, quacking out full-throated amens. You go, Brother Mallard. Bring it, Brother Mallard. Obviously, it's not a Presbyterian church we're talking about here. The waters of their hearts are stirred. The firewood of their emotions are kindled by Pastor Mallard. These drakes and hens and ducklings are captivated, motivated, and maybe a few of them a little agitated. The congregation finishes the service with a rousing, loud quacking of the ducksology. The ducks waddle out the door of the church. They waddle home. They waddle their way through the next week. They waddle back into the church 7 days later to hear yet another stirring sermon about how they ought to be flying. Whoa. So what is the problem with the Church of the Domesticated Ducks? Could it be they're too lazy to fly? Or maybe they're so used to not flying that, you know, flying represents change, and You know, it seems like the only person who really enjoys change is a baby with a wet diaper. Perhaps they would rather waddle than fly, or maybe Pastor Mallard just hasn't told them how to fly. You know, he's told them to, but he hasn't given them some practical instruction. Well, the promise in Scripture is this. We read it this morning. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. You know, the Christian life is designed by God to be a shared adventure. We're fellow pilgrims on a shared journey. We're soldiers, as we sang this morning, marching to Zion, the beautiful city of God. And the Lord has not designed us this year or any year to waddle through life. And what a tragedy to pass from this life to the next life, simply sighing and sitting in a rocking chair. These last two chapters of Ecclesiastes 11 and 12 spell out what it means in a practical way to live out a life of faith. And as we read verses 1 through 6, I'm reminded of some words that have stuck in my mind for a long time by a very famous theologian by the name of George Strait. And the words are this: there's a difference in living and living well. There's a difference in living and living well. This morning, Lord willing, these verses, we're going to extract four proactive words designed to encourage and motivate us to fly, to sail across life's oceans with our sails filled with the winds of the Holy Spirit, to soar instead of stumbling or waddling through life. And I can promise you this, if you'll take the challenge of these four words, just four words, you will move this year from living to living well. And the first proactive word is this. Here it is. Release. Release. Look at verse 1. Cast your bread upon the waters. This isn't a suggestion. This is a command, an imperative. These days, we'd put it this way. Don't put your bread in the freezer. Bread will dry out. Don't store your bread in a pantry or seal it in a Ziploc baggie. The bread will mold. Release what you have. Release your bread upon the surface of the water. In other words, push what you possess away from you. Live this way, not this way. Friends, in all honesty, we'd all have to plead guilty to the charge of listening and dancing to the music of the fallen world. Music is playing the soundtrack of, you know, consuming, taking, receiving, keeping. You know, we value protecting what we have, not risking. We play it safe. But that's not how God has designed us to live. No, not consuming and keeping. God did not put you on this planet just to consume resources, to eat, to breathe, to take up space, sit around, wait for heaven. God put you on this earth to contribute. He designed you to share, to serve, to be sent, and to be spent doing something. To be on a mission for the glory of God. In other words, God is not calling you today to save your life, but to spend your life. To spend your life in service to God and to other people. I've used this analogy before, but it stuck in my mind, and I'll use it again probably one day. 55 years ago, R.B. Kuyper wrote a book entitled The Glorious Body of Christ. It's a great book. It's on the church. And there's a word picture in that book that remains super glued in my mind. And the word picture is this. There's a comparison between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. And what Kuyper says is that the Sea of Galilee is teeming with life, because here's what happens. The Sea of Galilee takes in water and it gives out water. There is inflow and there is outflow. On the other hand, nothing lives in the Dead Sea because the Dead Sea only takes water in. There's no outflow. That's why the Dead Sea is, well, dead. And then he says, Kuiper says, I love this. All inflow and no outflow does a Dead Sea Christian make? So here's the question this morning. Are you a Sea of Galilee Christian or a Dead Sea Christian? Just ask one other question. Where is my outflow? Perhaps you're feeling stagnant in your life. Maybe it's because nothing in your life is flowing out to other people. You come to church, you take it in, you receive. As Scotty Smith said one time, seems like in the church, people are more interested in serve us than service. We ask, who's going to meet my needs? We need to be asking, whose needs in this church can I be meeting? We complain, oh, I get nothing out of church. Maybe you're putting nothing into church. We consume. We do not release. See, Christians who do not release themselves into ministry and mission, they're walking contradictions, oxymorons. You know what an oxymoron is? It's two words that don't belong together, like black light, jumbo shrimp, act natural. See, brothers and sisters in Christ, if Jesus had not left heaven and came to us to serve and to give His life as a ransom, we would have no salvation, no hope, and no future. Jesus could have stayed protected in the perfect environment of heaven. But Jesus chose to release Himself, to set aside His divine privileges, His heavenly perks. Jesus chose to come to this fallen planet on a mission. It even tells you what the mission is. Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, the very minimum response from those of us who have received God's grace in Christ, don't you think just the very minimum would be to pour our lives into mission and ministry to others? Friends, releasing ourselves is God's way. If you want to fly, it's got to go this way. Releasing. It's the difference between living and living well. Second proactive word is this. So we're talking about moving in our lives from just living, existing, taking in breaths, putting one foot in front of the other, to actually living well. The second proactive word is this. There's releasing, and then second, invest. Invest. Look at verse 2. Give a portion to seven or even to eight. What's that talking about? When the old days of shipping, if you had 7,000 pounds of grain, you would put 1,000 pounds into seven ships. In other words, we put it this way. Don't put all your eggs into one basket. Again, we're swimming against the current of our culture. Think about all the people that build their lives on one thing. Athletes. They build their lives on a sport. And then the unwanted visitor of injury comes. Our age catches up. Catches up with the fastest of athletes. And because they put all their eggs into the basket of their athleticism and haven't invested anywhere else, when the eggs crack, they lose everything. When it comes to investing, invest your life widely and generously. Your time, your abilities, your money. Invest into as many lives, people, as you can. Old Testament scholar Walter Kaiser translates this verse this way. He says, and I quote, "Be generous to as many people as you can." Notice, be generous to as many people as you can, and then some. And then the last part of verse 2 says, "For you do not know what disaster may happen on earth." Kaiser says, and you do not know what misery or what calamity is in the future. See, friends, we don't know what's coming around the corner. As we've learned in the last 2+ years, there's no guarantee of 100% safety. There's no 100% prevention or protection from COVID. We know that. We also know that a stock market crash, a mass recession might destroy your investments. A fire, a flood might destroy your house. A terrorist with biochemical weapon might wipe out a whole city. An EMP attack may fry all the electrical grids in the United States and send us back to the dark ages. A virus can shut down the world. And I guess you heard that next week an asteroid is passing close to our planet. One day one could impact our planet. We just don't know what crouching tiger of danger is waiting to pounce upon us. But here's the idea. Why do you let the rope of fear of the future bind you? No, we don't know who holds the future, but we do know who. We do not know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. Jesus puts it this way, Sermon on the Mount, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Pretty simple, pretty difficult to do. We invest. We leave the results to God. We invest everything into the souls of people. You know what people are? They are embodied souls. I love the song. Back in the early 70s, there was a movement of Christian music by the Jesus people. And one of those artists was a guy by the name of Keith Green. Keith Green. And he did a chorus. It goes like this. We just keep doing our best and pray that it's blessed, and Jesus takes care of the rest. Isn't that great? We just keep doing our best and pray that it's blessed, and Jesus takes care of the rest. And when we invest, not only are we living, but we're living well. So release, invest. The difference between living and living well, third proactive word is this. Third proactive word is this. Pursue. Pursue. Verses 3 and 4. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth, and if a tree falls to north or south, in the place where it falls, there it will lie. He who observes the wind will not sow. He who regards the clouds will not reap. What they're talking about here is this, the paralysis of analysis. It's looking and watching and waiting and not doing anything. It's instead of ready, aim, fire, it's ready, aim, aim, aim. Sure, the rain's going to fall. Trees are going to fall, the wind's going to blow, there's nothing you can do to change the inevitabilities of life. You can't change the weather. You can't change the final scores of the ball games. You can't change how people have responded to you in the past. You can't alter the passing of time. You can't stop the process of aging. You can't stop it. Are these inevitabilities of life going to paralyze you? Or are you going to pursue the passions that God has given you in your heart? By the way, we're all aging. Well, at least you are. Just kidding. I am too, about twice the rate. J. Oswald Sanders, many of you have probably read his incredible devotional book entitled My Utmost for His Highest. I want you to listen to what he talks about here. He speaks of four major poets. Hear this now. Four major poets who lived to be over 80 years old and did more work in the last decade of their lives than they did between the ages 20 and 30. He speaks of William Gladstone, who took up a new language when he was 70. At age 83, Gladstone became the Prime Minister of Great Britain for the fourth time, age 83. John Wesley preached every day until he was 88 years old. Instead of phoning it in and being passive, instead of sitting and fretting about what they couldn't change, Gladstone and Wesley pursued their God-given, God-fueled passions. And, you know, God uses, He loves to use people who relentlessly pursue their God-given passions. Of course, there are some things you can't change. You can't change people. Hope you don't realize that. Your name is not the Holy Spirit. But you can pursue grace-fueled, gospel-fired passions. Here's what it says. Just don't be passive. Pursue those passions that God has put in your heart. And please don't do whatever you do just for the money. I read about a war correspondent who's watching a humble, compassionate nun. She was swabbing blood and dirt out of a soldier's leg. Gangrene had set in. This reporter was so repulsed by the sight of the wound, he gagged and he mumbled under his breath, I wouldn't do that for $1 million. The nun heard him and she looked up and she said, you know, sir, neither would I. Neither would I. God says, release your bread on the water. Invest your life in the life of others. Pursue the passions God gives you and act on what you believe. And when you act on what you believe, don't keep track. Don't look in the mailbox for a letter of thanks. Don't expect to see your name in lights. Don't live your life locked in on the Weather Channel. By God's grace and the power the Holy Spirit provides, we just keep doing our best and pray that it's blessed and He'll take care of the rest. It's the difference between flying and floundering. It's the difference between living and living well. So what are we seeing here? Release, invest, pursue. One more proactive word, and that's this. Here it is. Next word is trust. Trust. Look at verse 5. As you do not know the way the Spirit comes in the bones of the wombs of a woman with child, so you do not know the work of God who makes everything. And then in the morning sow your seed. In the evening withhold not your hands. Some things can't be explained. Path the wind takes. Remember what Jesus says, the wind blows where it will. You can trace the path of the wind, but we cannot figure it out. We see a sonogram of an unborn child, but we cannot even comprehend the miracle of life that is happening in a mother's womb. Isaiah 55 says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways. Friends, even if your name is Shaquille O'Neal, the shelf where you find the cookies of God's ways is way, way, way beyond your reach. We'll never figure it out. So what do we do? In the morning, sow your seed. Look at that verse. In the morning, sow your seed, and at evening, withhold not your hand. Keep on sowing the seed of God's Word. Keep rolling up your sleeves, for you do not know what's going to happen, but God does. And we trust God to do things according to His timetable and not ours. Turn with me, if you would, to these verses. Isaiah 55. Just turn to Isaiah 55. I want to tell you a story about somebody. Isaiah 55. There was this Marine, dedicated Christian soldier, employed to Okinawa. He kept a journal. In his journal, he writes the following. The lifestyle on this island is somewhere between morally loose and total debauchery. I'm a married man, a Christian. I want to make an impact in the lives of others, and I'm so scared I've got knots in my stomach. This soldier had a bunkmate by the name of Matt. First time this soldier tried to speak to Matt about the Lord, Matt said, "Hey, I don't want all that blank shoved down my throat. Okay, you got that?" He said, "Yeah, I got it." Matt was about twice my size. So the Marine wanted to honor Matt's request, but he wanted to reach Matt with the gospel. So here's what the Christian soldier did. He was involved in something called the Navigator's Bible Memory Program. Maybe some of you have been exposed to that. Navigator's Bible Memory Program. He walked up to Matt one day and said, "Matt, can you help me with something? Matt, I'm memorizing these Bible verses, and I was wondering if you would just help me review these verses." Matt said, "Okay, but you better not lay some kind of guilt trip on me. You know I don't believe this blank." So, sure enough, Matt reviewed these Bible verses with this Christian Marine. Week after week, month after month, Matt would listen. Matt would correct the Marine. Matt would encourage the Marine, but it was painfully obvious. Over many, many months of deployment, Matt was not interested. This Christian Marine said, he wrote down, "Matt is hard-headed and cold-hearted." Well, 20 years later, this Marine gets a phone call. "Hey man, this is Matt, your old bunk buddy from Okinawa. Remember me?" "Well, how could I forget?" He said, "Matt, how are you?" Here's what Matt said. "Listen, I've become a Christian. My wife's a Christian. Hey, man, remember when you used to lay all those verses on me?" Well, it worked. Now, read Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that comes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." The word of God's grace goes out. We are responsible to sow the word. And then the word accomplishes every one of God's sovereign purposes. We sow. We trust God for the results. Listen, who knows what will happen 20 years from now? Who knows? Let me put it this way. If you're a Christian this morning, you know why? At some point in time, somebody sowed the seed of God's word in your heart. It could be a preacher, a Bible teacher, a children's minister like Tammy, a youth director, somebody at RUM, RUF. Somebody sowed the seed in your life, because faith comes by hearing a word from the Lord. You would not have come to faith had you not heard a word from the Lord. Sow the word in people's lives. Friends, if we were a congregation of ducks divinely designed to fly, would it not be a tragedy for us to waddle out of Lakeland Presbyterian Church this morning, to waddle through the week, to waddle back in here next week? There is a difference in living and living well. And the difference boils down to four simple words: release, invest, pursue, and trust. Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you give us instruction on how to live practically. Lord, when we're so all about protecting ourselves, you've told us to release ourselves, to invest ourselves, to invest what you've given us into ministry and the lives of others. You've told us to pursue the passions that you have placed in our heart. And you've told us to do this generously, and to trust that your word will not return void, but will accomplish the purpose for which it is sent. Lord, help us to live this year and this life, releasing, investing, pursuing, and trusting in you. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.